A couple questions to lead off this subject here. Does it bother you if I fast on Monday? The answer is no. Tuesday, Wednesday, no, it's not going to bother you at all. Well, does it bother you if I don't eat meat? The answer is, that'd be a little more questionable. Why doesn't he eat meat? Well, I bring these up because these really were issues back in the time of the Apostle Paul, where people were actually, and I don't understand this one, maybe it was something having to do with the Pharisees at the time, but they were actually criticizing those who didn't fast on a certain day. And there may have been some religious temple reasons for that, I just have no idea. If I don't eat meat, that was a problem back in the time of the Apostle Paul. So let's go to Romans 14. The subject that I actually have today is called Righteousness, Peace, and Joy. Righteousness, Peace, and Joy. Romans 14, verse 1 through 6. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, and he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eat despises him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Now, as we start this, we see that there are problems with both sides. If I'm fasting on Monday and think that that is the only day that I can fast, and you think that's a problem, then we both have a problem. If I really think that that is the only time that God would accept me fasting. If I don't eat meat and you eat meat, and I have contempt for you judging me and you're judging me, then we both have problems. And this is how it actually starts out here in Romans 14, 1 and 2. You're looking at problems on both sides of the issue. And this is why, by the way, I call this righteousness, peace, and joy. And we'll see the different issues that come along in the church throughout history. It goes on to say, let not him who eats despise him who does eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he'll be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One of the major principles that we know from being in the church is knowing someone 40 years ago and then knowing them now and thinking, you know what they were like 40 years ago? Especially if you knew them as kids, maybe teenagers in the church who were 15, 16. By the way, we have 26 children. Maybe it's 27. I think I may have forgotten one. 27 children in the church in Kansas City. 27. And we only have 10 adults. No, we have more than that. We have about 38 adults over there. I think the church has about 65 people. But whatever the case, these kids are running around and they get in trouble at church. We just constantly try to slow down, you know, or don't tip the table over, don't knock over Mrs. So-and-so. But we remember what was going on, you know, when the kids were small. But then they grow up, and 40 years later, we see them as 47 years old. God is able to make everyone stand eventually. It may take 30 years, it may take 40 years, but God is in the business of changing every single one of us. One person, notice now in verse 5, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, of course, we know what the world does with this. And I'm going to come back to explaining a little bit about this eating too, when it comes to what food God is talking about eating here. But here we see that it is not talking actually about a holy day, because there's no issue on holy days here. In fact, as you read the rest of the Bible, you see that the Sabbath was to be kept. Paul never anywhere talked about keeping Sunday. It just never, ever happened. But for those of you who don't know, this section is probably the most picked on section besides Colossians 2. That's the other one, where people say, and actually the other one, 1 Corinthians 16, I think, where it talks about taking up an offering on Sunday. So there's three. The last one is kind of weak. But these two, you have to know a little bit about what's going on. This one is used for observing Sunday over the Sabbath, right here. But one person esteems one day above another. And the reason, by the way, we know this is about fasting is because the rest of the chapter is about food and drink. And we'll get into the entire chapter as we get into the sermon. But he who observes one esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. There may have been people who say, you can't fast on the Sabbath. Could have been one of the issues. Because it's a Sabbath, it's a holy day, and you can't. In fact, in the church, I have actually known people who question why anybody would fast on the Sabbath. Or during the days of unleavened bread, that might be another issue. Why would you fast during the days of unleavened bread? You must eat leaven every day of the days of unleavened bread, except you find Daniel fasted through the entire feast of unleavened bread. Not Daniel, it was unleavened bread. Did I say leavened bread? If I'm on a computer, I can go back and cross all that out. But Daniel fasted throughout the days of unleavened bread. And he never ate leavened bread one day. So what causes you to be more unleavened? Fasting for 7 days or eating unleavened bread? Not that we don't eat unleavened bread, but I think you're going to be more unleavened if you fast 7 days. But anyway, people have then picked on individuals for, you know, little things like that. And then it goes on, he who eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. So what I'm just pointing out here, there are issues where people judge one another or are in contempt, despise one another, and Paul is saying it just shouldn't be done. It shouldn't be an issue in the church of God. Let's take a look at some issues throughout history. I remember the very first issue that came along where somebody actually went out of the church over it was the question of booths. There was a minister who left, and not booze, B-O-O-Z-E, as we've always, you know, humored about, but booths, B-O-O-T-H-S, where the minister said, Feast of Tabernacles, you have to go out and you have to get sticks together and you have to live in this temporary dwelling booth of trees. Now, it was really hypocritical for the minister to do that because he went and he came in a trailer, which now makes no sense. And hypocrisy, you just don't like, and everybody should have seen through that. But it'd be like me standing up here on the Day of Atonement drinking water telling you you should be fasting. You know, it'd be that type of thing. And that was one of the big issues, and that was back in 1966, if I remember right. So there's all types of things that come along. When I went to, it was our first assignment, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I remember a deacon there coming up to me, and we were only there about 2 months, I believe. He came up to me, handed all his paperwork in, and he said, I'm not going to be at church anymore. And I said, well, why not? He said, because you teach that you can eat strawberries, literally, and bananas. And they don't have seeds. And God says that we only eat foods that are seed-bearing plants. And I went, really? I'm just showing you that there are all types of issues that come along. And he actually, in this case, went out of the church for us. Now, to most of us, that would be ridiculous. You can actually see the seeds in bananas, and actually you can see the seeds on strawberries. Strawberries are the outside, and in bananas, I believe it's that little black speck, is it, that you see when you eat it. But whatever the case, most of us would say these are small issues. issues have come along, and I have about 13 or 14 of them listed here. Holy days, calendar, more so the calendar. Well, not just more so, a calendar, I guess we should say, has been an issue. And I think I counted 14 different feasts that could be kept on tabernacles, 14 different ways it can be, different days that it can be kept. Because you can take a look at when you begin counting, and some say, well, if the moon is, full moon is at noon, then you have to start at noon. You can't go forward or back. You've got to start right then. If it's 1 o'clock, that full moon, you have to start then. So you can get pretty judgmental, and people have left the church over it. And it's interesting what I saw on Pentecost years ago, and this was back in 1974, because we were out in Pasadena, California at the time, around one of the ministers who adamantly stated Pentecost must be on Sunday. He left the church. The decision was made, the judgment was made based on new information that Sunday should be the day. And the guy who was promoting it so much and left the church over it stopped keeping the holy days. Totally. And it's like, push that so much. Don't you think there was an attitude there? And the answer is, yeah, that was an attitude. So you have calendar issues, divorce and remarriage. What is porneia? What is porneia? So you have issues like that. No, you cannot, you absolutely cannot be free almost no matter what. You better take a gun and shoot her. It's the only way you're going to be free, almost. I'm being facetious here, but it gets really like, no, the person must die before you are free to remarry. So the question of what is porneia? Vegetarianism, we covered that, actually referred to that in Romans 14, where some people are vegetarians and some for good reasons. You know, there's nothing wrong, by the way, of being a vegetarian. Should eat some seeds if you are. But the point is there are some people for health reasons cannot eat meat. But some people for spiritual reasons don't eat meat. They just feel that it is unclean. Then there is who's Ephraim and Manasseh? Since the United States has 50 states, then that's a company. And it's a company of nations. And so some think, and it's minor in one sense, but some think that Ephraim is not what we think. It's just the opposite of what we think. Then there's the word begotten. What is the word begotten? Bottom line is, we're going to be given God's Holy Spirit, and on the seventh trump, we're going to be changed to spirit beings. Some of these things you can just say, I really don't care how you define the word begotten. We receive God's Spirit, and when Christ comes, you know, dot, dot, dot. But people make big issues of that, and they will actually leave the church over. Pentecost Sunday, Monday, I mentioned that. Christ has already returned. How many have heard of that one? Yeah, it was one of the things that Paul faced. That a couple guys actually left the church because they believed Christ had already returned. That's almost like Seventh-day Adventist where, you know, you have, well, he didn't quite return, but did he start counting numbers of people then? 144,000, I can't remember. I studied it a long time ago, but anyway, that had to do with the return of Christ. The priesthood of all believers. How many have heard of that one? Where all of you are priests. Every single one of you. And you don't have to listen to anybody. You are a priest, except the women, of course. That's wrong. How can a woman be a priest? But I think actually they believe women are priests too. If you have the Holy Spirit, then it's the priesthood of all believers. Circumcision was a big issue during the time of the Apostle Paul, 20 years, 30 years after Jesus Christ had ascended to heaven. And that issue was around a long time, and it was causing division. Meats offered to idols. Meats offered to idols. That was a big one. Ah, this meat was offered to an idol, and I bought it down. Where did this meat come from? I bought it at the shambles. And you're going to eat it? It was offered to an idol. And that was an issue. the Passover, the 15th or the 14th. That one's not so much an issue because it's just about the Old Testament. But still, some have made an issue over it. Sacred names is another one that some of you know about. And it can go on and on. Probably if I said, okay, interaction, what others do you know? I won't do that, but you've probably heard of others that maybe are more ridiculous than seed-bearing plants of strawberries and bananas. So we have these issues, and it's interesting what comes along. Satan the devil at the end time is going to make an issue. This is after the 7,000 years are over. Satan the devil is going to make issues of some things, and people are actually going to follow him. So we should never say, issues are not going to bother me, when in fact it's going to happen at the end of the millennium. Well, God says in 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13, or just 10, we'll go there first. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now this is what Paul pleaded with the brethren. And when you follow through reading 1 Corinthians, you'll see it was about judging, taking people to court. That was one of them. But there were judgments that should have been the same. You wonder about some. Some judgments were like, could be this way, could be that way. But when it came to a guy marrying his dad's mother, that should have been well known because it was specifically outlined in the Old Testament. You just don't marry your dad's wife. Did I say mother? You don't marry your dad's wife. There we go. And this guy had married his dad's wife. It wasn't his mother, but his dad's wife. And the Bible strictly said, no, you do not do that. You don't uncover the nakedness of your father's wife. And I think that was somewhere in maybe Leviticus 18. But here, we should have one judgment. Now, is this going to happen any time before the coming of Jesus Christ, where the entire church is going to always have one judgment? And the answer is, it's not going to happen. It is not. It is almost impossible. Now, this is why I'm going to Romans 14, because when it's impossible to come to one judgment, what else do you do? Well, there's an attitude that we all have because we know. And if I went around the room and said, is there anything that you do not agree with Harry, James, John, Peter, Joe, Cheryl or Marion or Jody or Elaine, is there any issue, where you've talked and you don't quite see it the same way? And it's like, oh yeah, I can think of some things where we don't quite agree on some things. I came across something the other day, in fact, where I had written something about, it was a summary, actually, of the last Holy Day season, the third season of the year. And I used the expression, that there will come a time then when all mankind will have the opportunity to inherit the kingdom of God. And the answer came back to me. This is not an official thing, of course, that we're talking about, but one person thought that those who are in the great white throne judgment period cannot inherit the kingdom of God. They only enter it. Now, I've been around 50 years, and I hadn't heard that one, but it just shows you little things that it's like, well, maybe the person's right. I've actually never studied it out. Anybody do a study of we inheriting the first fruits only, and then later on they only enter? I'll have to do a study. You do the study. I don't want to do that study. You go ahead, and if you can prove it, that's fine. Not a big issue, but I'm just saying, if you went around this room, there'd always be some differences. There just always would be. So what should our attitude be when differences arise? Romans 14 and verse 7. Romans 14 and verse 7. We'll be going back and forth a little bit in Romans 14 today. Romans 14 and verse 7. What should our attitude be when there are differences? Romans 14 and verse 7. Now, some differences are huge, most are not. Some differences are huge, most are not. Romans 14 and verse 17. 14:17. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, not bananas and strawberries for sure, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I've actually titled this sermon, Righteousness, Peace, and Joy. Because when we have differences of opinion, different judgments in the church, we always must come back to, in fact, Romans 14 is probably the best chapter in the entire Bible, which shows us what do we do if there's any differences at all. There was in the church in Rome, and there was in Corinth, and there was in Thessalonica, all the seven churches that you read about in the book of Revelation, some major differences, many major differences actually there, and no doubt some minor. So before I go back to Romans, I'm in Romans right now, but we're going to go out of it and come back to it. I'm going to give us three basic principles that we need to follow. Three basic principles that we need to follow. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul talking. All things are lawful for me. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, all lawful things are lawful for me. He didn't mean breaking the law was lawful. But all things that are lawful to me, but all things are not helpful. Expedient is the word I like, actually. It's not expedient to do it all the time. So everything that's lawful is lawful, but it may not be the best time to do it. And when dealing with one another, all lawful things are lawful, but maybe not expedient to do it at the time. Now, he's not saying that one person can handle a six-pack and it's lawful to handle a six-pack because they can handle it. If you can handle a six-pack in 3 hours, you've got a good liver, for one thing. I think people deceive themselves when they say, I can hold my liquor. Go to a place and just ask them to do a breathalyzer test on you and see what they say. It's probably six beer, unless you're drinking light beer. No, actually light beer has just as much alcohol, basically just as much, you know, because people think, oh, light beer is okay, it's just watered down. It's like, no, it's not. I actually kid Mr. Pentland because he drinks light beer. And I said, real men drink stout. But he doesn't believe me. So anyway, we're talking about if you know something's lawful, doesn't mean you just should do it all the time. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 13. We were in verse 10 earlier on. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Verse 13. And let's see, I believe, verse 10. It is in the same verse. Speak same mind, same judgment. So I'll just stick with verse 10 on here and not go to verse 13, although we don't want to be divided. Is Christ divided? But notice in the first part of it here that there be no divisions among you. So what we have is then it may be lawful but not expedient, and what we don't want is divisions over anything that comes along that is doubtful disputations. In other words, we're not talking about stealing. We're not stealing. There's nothing doubtful about what we should do there. There's nothing doubtful about bearing false witness. There's nothing doubtful about taking God's name in vain. We're talking about doubtful disputations. And then we're going to back to, no divisions. We have to keep in mind, brethren, the one thing that is an abomination would be if we sow seeds of discord. over what is lawful, or maybe it's not lawful in your eyes, in your eyes. In other words, we can cause discord over anything. You see your kids doing it, right? Kids cause discord with each other. Husbands and wives are discordant with each other. And what we have to make sure is that we never sow seeds of discord, because that's one of the abominations. And the third principle, so one is lawful but not expedient. The second is no divisions. And then the third would be, whatever's not of faith is sin. Whatever's not of faith is sin. So if we don't think something's right, and we do it, then it's sinful. If we don't think something is right and someone causes us to do it, provokes us to do it, then they're wrong also, because they are causing someone to stumble. So we don't want someone to stumble, and then we don't want to sin ourselves because we don't approve of what we disapprove, of course. So we have to be careful with that. So back to Romans 14. Back to Romans 14. It's talking about one who eats all things and one who eats vegetables. Then in verse 3, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Now, when it comes to this, this section here is one where they do away with unclean meat. So I thought I'd take just a few moments to explain this also, because when you talk to someone, kids, they'll come up with this. In fact, I've had many teenagers ask me about this one. Well, doesn't this tell you you can eat anything? Can't you eat anything? And they'll go to, guess what? The book of Timothy, where Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's telling him that if it's been sanctified, then you can eat it. It is no longer unclean. Or as someone told my wife recently, I think we were talking about this. Oh, our daughter was talking to a chef, or Montana chef. That's how they pronounce it up there. Chef and chandelier in Montana. Chef. And the chef said, oh, we know how to cook this pork now. And if you cook it right, you're going to be okay. But if we go to... And that's fine with me. If they want to eat it, they can eat it. Well, actually, it's not fine with me. I feel badly for them. But in 1 Timothy chapter, let's see. Let's go back here. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Now, brethren, we're going to see this deceiving spirit, or just spirit, a wrong spirit, mentioned at another time. And we have to be careful of spirits that come along. That's in people. It's a spirit. It's a mindset in a human being that causes us to be deceived. Notice doctrines of demons. Then verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Meaning whatever they tell you to do is not going to bother them at all. They are not conscience stricken. If they tell you something and you get hurt by it, they just have no feelings whatsoever, basically. But notice, forbidding to marry. Is the Catholic Church involved in doctrine of demons when it comes to forbidding to marry? And the answer is yes. Yeah, it is. In fact, I think the present Pope now is getting some pressure to bring back marriage to the priests. Although you've had some popes who've had kids by their wife and by their concubines in the past. You have to go back to the Middle Ages to get that one. But speaking lies and hypocrisy, forbidding to marry, verse 3, commanding to abstain from foods. Now, some will say, you guys, you in the church, have a doctrine of demons, because you abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. You should be just thankful that you have it. Now, if you eat arsenic as a food, is that okay if you think it's food? And that's the first question I always to ask. What does God consider food? You eat rocks? No, we don't eat rocks. Most people don't. After they hit 4 or 5 years old, beforehand they might eat rocks. Be ready for it. But food is food. It is not something that is non-food. It's not something that is toxic, that is poison. And so we're not talking about anything you put in your mouth is food, which God created to be received with thanksgiving. And the key here then is by those who believe and know the truth. That's one key. So what is truth? Your word is truth. This is what Christ said the night before he died in John 17:17. Your word is truth. So now we have to find out what is truth concerning food. And all you have to do is go back to Leviticus and Deuteronomy. There's a couple chapters on clean and unclean meat, not food. Not clean and unclean food, because if it's food, it's going to always be clean. But meats sometime are clean and meats sometime are not clean. So you have actually chapters that tell you what is food and what is not food. What's been sanctified to eat is food and what has not been sanctified to eat is food. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be refused, received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified, it's set apart. So that's the key. It's set apart by the word of God and prayer. So when we talk about food in the Bible, we're not talking about you can eat anything. See, you can eat anything. We're saying the Bible determines, based on what is sanctified in his word, that which is edible. And there's other things that you should not eat. Now, there's some things that you should not eat just because they don't taste good. Like those little cabbages. You know, those things. Actually, I eat them, kids. I eat them. Even though I don't like them, I think they're bitter. But I need to be reminded of bitter herbs that came, you know, that the Israelites were eating in Egypt. So I eat food that is very, very good for you. Brussels sprouts is what I'm talking about, by the way. I hate to say it, but they're one of the best anti-carcinogenic foods that you can eat. Brussels sprouts. How many do not like Brussels sprouts? If you don't eat them, repent, because they are good for you. In fact, I think that Mr. Harris should only eat Brussels sprouts this next week just to get over it. So, but you know what we're talking about here. I did want to take a few moments out to explain that, because it's very important to answer people when it comes to this section here. Paul, the Apostle Paul is not talking about eating anything. Okay, so let's go on. We've gone through verse 6. Let's go to verse 7 now. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Now, to our master, to his own master, we stand or fall, is what it said in verse 4. We are thinking about how we glorify God. And we know, and everybody should know this about another person too, with this is verse 4 of Romans 14, that I should know that my wife stands or falls not because of me, she stands or falls before God. I'm not the one that she's going to be accountable to, you know, where we're both changed to spirit beings, and then she's accountable to me. And so I set her down and I say, Marion, okay, now, why did you do this in life? She's not going to answer to me. She's going to answer to God. And God is going to say, why did you treat Marion that way? That would be one of the questions. And I'll say, well, I stopped a week before I was changed to spirit being, does that count? Well, no. We hopefully are respecting our wives and our husbands, and we are living a life that pleases God. We glorify God is what we are doing. and to him we stand or fall. Now in verse 9, to this end Christ died and rose and lived again that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. So when it comes to issues, brethren, Jesus Christ was scourged, he was crucified, so that we could be one, so that we could be in the family of God. And this is what we have to think about. We have a very high calling. But why do you judge your brother? That's one group. Or why do you show contempt for your brother? That's the other group. See, again, it comes back to we can be right, but we can be wrong. And that's what we have to be careful of when any issue comes up. We can be right or we can be wrong. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every knee shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. So now this is talking, there's two issues that were brought up here, and that is those who didn't eat meat versus one who ate everything. And the other, the guy who fasted during the days of unleavened bread, perhaps, or on a Sabbath day, whatever it was. Why are you doing that? So we don't judge those things. We just don't judge those things. We know that they're going to stand before God, and that I am going to stand before God. Verse 11, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Now, what does that mean? There's nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be clean, to him it is unclean. Well, what if you buy meat that was offered to idols? All of a sudden it became unclean. So Paul says, look, it's still beef. It was offered to an idol. It is still beef. I heard something about Costco not too long ago where they were selling something that had been dedicated by the Muslims or something. Any of you hear that some time ago? It's like, well, you don't want to go to Costco and buy something that was dedicated or blessed by the Muslims. I don't know exactly what it was, but did it hurt the meat any? It became unclean to some. It was unclean. Now, if you really think it's unclean, then none of us should judge you for that. You know, if it's like, well, I've had some situations where, well, I'll just tell on myself. I do make mistakes from time to time, like in the announcements today. But we were selling our house in St. Louis, and there were a couple who came to the house. And I said to Marianne, I am not going to sell to them. And God heard me. And God said, I'm not sending anybody else along to buy it. It's like, I had to eat my words, because really, it's like, it's a house. You know, it's this very holy, sanctified house where everything I touched became gold in a temple. And it's like, you know, wait a minute here. You're in the world, you know. Are you going to sell something to somebody when they come in? Now, I didn't want to. But what do? You live in this world. It was unclean to me for a very short time. It's amazing. I won't say it. Get myself in trouble here. And once is enough for the day. But it is amazing what we think is wrong when it's actually not wrong. But anyway, if it's unclean to a person, it is unclean. It definitely is. And this is what was happening with meat that was being offered to idols. And there's other situations, I'm sure, that can come along. Then we go along here. Let's see here. Verse 15. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, and see, we're still saying with the subject of food here, and not a holy day or a Sabbath day when it comes to observing things. It was having to do with fasting over food in this case. But if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. When it comes to eating and drinking, then we don't make an issue over it. And again, let's be reminded that both sides can make issues over something, and we don't want to do that. Therefore, do not let your good be evil spoken of. So those people who are doing things that are lawful, don't let that be evil spoken of. In other words, if someone's doing good, don't speak evil of it. If it's a doubtful disputation, if it's something that's doubtful in our mind. Verse 17, and this is where the title of the sermon comes from, the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, God's Spirit gives us righteousness and convicts us of sin and righteousness, and God's Spirit is the result of having God's Spirit is joy and peace. Verse 18, he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. It's always what we come back to. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. So this is what we want to make sure and do when it comes to issues that are questionable. So what do you do if you come across someone or if you believe that you shouldn't be eating strawberries and bananas? What do you do? What do we all do with that? Well, if we're the ones, then we don't want to have contempt for those who are eating those strawberries and bananas. We don't want to have contempt for them. And we don't want to judge, the rest of us don't want to judge the person who doesn't believe in eating strawberries and bananas. We don't say, come on, eat some. They're not going to hurt you. The seeds are on the outside. And it's like, our daughter, I still remember, would not eat oranges when she was about, what, a year old? Came to the point she had eaten oranges before, and all of a sudden she didn't like oranges. And we said, you've got to eat that orange. And it was like, bad day at Black Rock. She was not going to eat that orange. To this day, she does not like to eat oranges. Probably because we forced it on her at the time, and they're just something psychological, you know. Don't force oranges on Waylon. You're going to get a lot of advice from a lot of people, I guarantee you here. And don't feed him beer too early, you know. But the point is, in all of this, we have to make sure that no matter when it comes to doubtful disputations, that we treat each other respectfully, not with contempt and not judging each other in those types of things. Verse 22. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself. Have it to yourself before God. You cannot have faith for somebody else. Just like we have self-control, we cannot have control for someone else. Neither can we control anybody else. We just cannot do it. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So if I approve what I do that I feel and know is lawful and right, then happy is he who does that. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. Okay, I have some concluding points, and you might say the sermon's almost over, but there's five concluding points in conclusion here. And number one is make sure we always are in a right spirit. Make sure that we are always in a right spirit. James 3. Here we find in verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? In fact, in the opening prayer, it talked about the wisdom that we're going to receive today. And when I heard that in the opening prayer, I thought, well, if there's any wisdom, it comes from the Bible. And we're listening to the Bible. So We take the wisdom from God's word. It's what we do. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But we shouldn't have any bitter envy, self-seeking in our hearts, trying to get our own way. Do not boast against, lie against the truth. And the truth here is talking about a right attitude. The truth is talking about a right attitude. When God brings us before his throne, brethren, you know, he is not going to say, why didn't you eat meat? He's going to say, why were you in such contempt? Why were you judging so harshly? That's what he's going to say. Now, when it comes to the world, he's not going to say, why didn't you like the Roman emperor? He's going to be, that's fine with that. Yeah, you didn't need to like the Roman emperor. But when it comes to attitudes, God is going to get us on that, because it's these attitudes that will eventually cause us to become like Satan the devil, whether it's 100 years into the millennium, 5,000 years into the millennium. It's the attitudes that we have that got, oh, that's what got Satan or Lucifer in trouble at the time. Bitter envy, self-seeking, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, earthly, sensual, and demonic. When we have the wrong attitude. Envy, self-seeking. What are we seeking? The wisdom that is from above, this is the attitude that we want to make sure and have, or the Spirit. The wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I said there were 5 points. Number two, never follow a wrong spirit. Never follow a wrong spirit. Here we find in the Corinthian church. Now, it's interesting that the wrong spirit was with those individuals who thought they were apostles, and they were upset and angry at the Apostle Paul. They thought the Apostle Paul was nobody, worth nothing. I'm going the wrong way while I'm speaking here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here it says, verse 4, he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached. Now, where do you find that, by the way? Well, go to TV. The other, we were going through, we have 5 religious channels. I got rid of 4 of them because on one of the channels, there's once in a while a good religious movie. I think David was played on that, 3 weeks ago, whatever. So I left it. I had gotten rid of all religious channels, but there's this one we go by, and then there's this guy was, I'm with the Spirit now. I don't know what I'm going to do. I am following the clouds of heaven, and I am wanting money from all of you. And I am, whatever. But it was this, he just kept going, and this, the ones I really get a kick out of, and we are going to, and they do this, and I thought, man, I've heard that one a long time. There's a certain demonic spirit to that one. But I looked at Marion, and she's looking at me like, why do you keep listening to this? Is why she's looking at me. It's just, it fascinates me. It's almost entertaining. But he was preaching Jesus, but it was another Jesus. It wasn't the same Jesus that we know. It was a, there was a difference. And then it goes on to say here in verse 4, a different spirit. A different spirit. Now this is what we have to watch out, because there are even churches of God, and this was the church of God. Church of God in Corinth. In that church, there was a wrong spirit. These people were keeping holy days, these ministers that you find he was talking about. We're keeping the Sabbath, they were keeping the holy days, but there was a wrong spirit. And we have to make sure that we always follow a right spirit, a right spirit. Remember, after the 1,000-year period, you are going to have a spirit of Satan the devil that comes along. It's a spirit that they're going to get at. I don't know that Satan is going to tell everybody that they shouldn't be keeping the Sabbath and holy days. I don't know that he's going to say that when he first returns. He just may catch them on something small. He may catch them on probably government, or deceive them that I'm the real Messiah, and this one that's been around for 1,000 years, by the way, that's Catholic teaching of the Middle Ages, or the 19th century even, I'm the one that is here to save you, and many will follow. So we have to know a right spirit from a wrong spirit. Number three, grow in grace and knowledge. When it comes to different things, I have grown, believe it or not, well, I know you believe it, that in 50 years' time, I have grown in knowledge, and you have too. And there are some things that I thought were right, little things, nothing huge normally at all. I mean, the Church of God is the Church of God. And, of course, when there was a major 180-degree turnaround back in 1993, we all understood it and we knew what was going on. You know, when you go to Sabbath, Sunday, Holy Day, to Easter, you see those things. But we grow in knowledge. And there was one time that I said, man, holy days in my part of the kingdom, we're not going to, there's a term for it even now, postponements, there we go. Very easy word. Postponements. I said, I will not have postponements. But you know, as I got to looking, I thought, everybody has postponements, whether they believe they do or not. All of them postpone something, whether it's 12 hours that they postpone or a day. Everybody has postponements that are dealing with the calendar issues. But anyway, I grew in knowledge, and then I understood much more on why we keep all the holy days where we should. Actually, I never had any problem with it. I just never understood it. I always kept the holy days on the day that they should be kept. I'm just saying the word postponement just didn't seem right until I studied and realized what was going on. And then gave a whole Bible study down at the Feast of Tabernacles several years ago. So we grow in grace and knowledge. And you know that's a scripture we use all the time in 2 Peter 3. We rightly divide the word of God. So we will be growing, and God makes us stand as we grow. First and foremost, we want to grow to see ourselves and the problems we have ourselves, don't we? The attitude problems. Then number four, remember the church is the pillar and ground of truth. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. And we always want to see and study and know what the church believes. The reason I'm in the church is because of what I read from the church. Back when I was 16 years old, I would go to other churches, Seventh-day Adventists, Church of Christ, whose wife baked the worst chocolate cup pie that I've ever eaten. As I remember at the age of 16, going up to Havre, Montana, and doing this Bible study with the Church of Christ, and it was like, oh, my wife makes this wonderful, wonderful pie. And I went over there, and it was terrible. It was really bad. Maybe that's why I didn't become Church of Christ. I don't know. It's not the reason, but you know what I mean. It's knowledge that you're gaining. And well, I compared everything that was out there with the Church of God and what we were teaching. And the Church of God was the right church. And I've always gone back to that you go back to study from the Bible. From the Bible, and you compare everything that's out there to what's in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15. These things I write to you shortly, though I hope to come to you. If I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And this is what we want to go to always first when any issue comes along. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. Is the church going to grow also? And the answer is, yeah. Yeah, the church will grow. Will the church be wrong in some things and need to grow? Experience tells us that. Absolutely. But it's still the church, and it's growing. If it throws everything out, then of course, one guy who was counseling for baptism asked me the question, well, what if the church gives up the Sabbath? I said, the church throws the Sabbath out. And this was baptismal counseling. I said, the church is no longer the church. They gave up their right to be the church. They left the church. And that's what happened, of course, back in 93. And there's other major doctrines, of course, on that too. But we always want to go to the church to see what the church believes. Always check out what the church believes. If we haven't checked everything first, then we don't have a good premise on which to judge right and wrong. Well, the church better be teaching what the Bible says, of course. You understand where I'm going with that. But you have to, if the church is the church, then you want to check what the pillar states, because the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, then it goes on with Christ being the head of the church. We have study papers in the church, by the way. There's 4 study papers out, divorce and remarriage, Sabbath, eating out on the Sabbath. We have a calendar study, and we have one more that has been made. I think there's one more on that, and that is a Hebrew calendar. So we will always want to go to what the church is teaching. Calendar issue has been a big issue. Even now, I heard of 6 months ago, somebody going out of the church because of a calendar issue. So you always want to check out the questions, the answers that are in what we produce. And then finally, point number five, am I being righteous? Point number five, when it comes to issues, we ask ourselves, am I being righteous? Am I being joyful? Am I being peaceful? Because it comes down to that. If we do not have righteousness, if we are not living in peace, if we are not joyful, which is different than happy, then of course, we have problems, right? Because we should not be letting food, as it says in Romans 14, cause another person to stumble. The kingdom of God is not in food and drink. If you drink too much, the kingdom of God does talk about that too. The church of God talks about that. But you know where the scripture is going with these things. Where it's not what you eat, what you drink. It's going to be an attitude that determines whether we are in the kingdom of God. And also it's going to be an attitude that causes us to know right from wrong. If we're in the right attitude, God will always be working with us. And he can open up our mind to whatever we need to see or correct us in what we shouldn't be seeing. So I hope this helps. Romans 14 is always that key chapter. So when an issue comes along and you feel anguished about it, if you have this knapsack, was it, and you've got issues, then put them down there and put them in front of the church. Take them to the Word of God. Check everything out with the Word of God first. Righteousness, joy, peace is what unites us together as one.